All right, everybody, welcome to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Jeremy with Ryan, and today we have Mark from Shutdown. You can say your last name, sir, because I don't want to slaughter it.
I was just going to ask, how do you actually say it?
Scandato.
Scandato.
Scandato, yeah.
Uh-huh. And this guy doesn't know it,
Thanks for having me on.
He pretty much made me or set me in the right path and didn't even know it. And I want to thank you for agreeing to come on and talk about life and your new music, Shutdown, getting back together. You're in Florida.
Thanks, man.
How's life? So
everything's good, man. Everything's good. I appreciate you guys having me on. Jeremy hit me up, like 2 weeks ago, and we made this happen. So thank you so much, dude. Appreciate
it.
I actually watched the one you guys did you have Andrew on a couple weeks ago, right?
Yep.
So that was the one. I think it was funny, I was watching it, and as I was watching it, Jeremy sent me a message. Just the timing was perfect. But things are good, man. We're excited to have new music out, and I'm down in Florida. The rest of the guys are up north still. Two live in Long Island, one lives in New Jersey. So it's funny, none of us are in Brooklyn anymore. But you know, very, very excited to get 2025 going and get the release out and just kind of get back into the mix, so to speak, and just like do all this kind of stuff and media stuff and just like really just put ourselves out there again full force with new music, not just kind of playing the old stuff, which we're always going to do. But it's just nice to have something new out there and relevance and just be talking about it. And, you know, just happy to be here. It's all about gratitude with us now. I feel like that's the big thing with Shutdown. It's like kind of gratitude is the attitude. It's like we're just super stoked to still be able to be in a position to play hardcore and do what we love. And we all have families and, you know, they support it. And that's kind of what we enjoy. So really stoked to be at this point in our lives still doing it and just kind of talking about it.
Yeah, that's fucking great. What brought you guys back together after all these years?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the big question.
That's everybody's question is, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this a little bit. Like, we've never really broke up, like, as a band. We never, like, it was never, like, you know, there was never a fallout. There was never a band member quitting. It's been the same four guys for going on 30 years. So it was very unconventional for us. We were in a position where we had to keep touring, you know, full time. Or not. And we were young, and some of the guys decided that they wanted to go back and finish college. And there was a lot of pressure being put on them from home, of course, because we were young. We had already spent almost 7 years on the road, and we were young guys. You know, we were in our early 20s at that point. I mean, we were starting touring full time when we were like 16, 17. So when we stopped, I took a break. I moved to Florida and wound up staying down here permanently. And with the guys, we kind of played random shows. Like, we did a show at CB's in 2003 for Frank Collins. That was a benefit show. Frank was in Confusion and, you know, was a member of the New York hardcore scene. He was, in the Port Authority, you know, worked at 9/11, and he actually died in a motorcycle accident. And we did a big benefit show for him at CB's. We played in 2006 at the Black and Blue Bowl, you know, big show with Crown of Thorns, Madball, everyone you could think of, Murphy's Law, Indecision. That was an awesome show. And then in 2010, Black and Blue did it back on the Bowery. We did that. It was like one of Wisdom and Chain's first shows. Brace War played. It was a pretty awesome show. And then in 2012, came back. Black and Blue did the Rabies tribute. That was the first one where Rancid headlined the Black and Blue Bowl. And I was able to take part in that, which, you know, it's always a good time when Warzone asked me to do stuff with them. So we never really fell off, so to speak, like as a band. We just kind of stopped playing full time. And we've always maintained the friendships. We've always maintained the bond and the brotherhood and the music. So in 2019, fast forward, we got a chance to go to Europe and play one festival in Europe. It's in November. It's called Sound of Revolution. It's actually called Revolution Calling now. If you guys see, it's going on next month. Always a crazy lineup next month. I mean, I think this year it's Biohazard, Civ. It's absolutely amazing lineup. Just take your pick of hardcore bands. It's basically like every hardcore band you want to see on a festival plays this show. And we played in 2019. And at that one specifically, I mean, Shelter, Youth of Today, Terror, Bouncing Souls. That's just a few of the bands. Like, it was amazing. And we had the best time at that show. Long story short, we hadn't played Europe in like 15, 16 years and got an amazing reaction. After that show, we were all at the airport. We were like, dude, when are we going back to Europe? Like, this is fucking amazing. Got to get back to Europe. So much fun. There was so much energy in the crowd, and everybody was singing the songs, and just a really, really good vibe. So
at that point,
I think
we
decided, and we decided that was in Eindhoven in Holland. And at that point, when we were flying home, it was like, I think the plan started at that point 5 years ago. We were like, let's write new music. Let's figure this out. Let's, you know, we can get this going in our own way. It doesn't have to be the way it was when we were young. You know, we have families now. Things are a lot different for us, both, you know, personally and professionally. But this is still something very true to ourselves and true to our hearts. So we wanted to do this in a way where we weren't really pressured to do things. When we were young, we were on Victory, it was almost like we were pressured to do things a certain way. Go on tour, don't ever stop. Do, you know, write a record within a month and don't worry about who likes it or cares. Just go into the studio and record it. Like, there was a lot of like weird pressure on us when we were young that we let happen. Whereas adults now, we just felt like we can do something with on our own terms. And we partnered up with Equalvision, which was like the perfect label for us, because a lot of people that work at that label are lifelong friends of ours. People like Bill Scoville. Bill's the bass player for One King Down. He's been working at Equalvision for 30 years. We've been friends with One King Down for as long as we've been a band. We've toured the country with them. They're very, very close to Shutdown. So we came up with the idea with him. I think he brought it to us where it was like, hey, if you guys want to put new music out, let's do something together. And I thought Equalvision was the perfect label for it, because Equalvision was started by Ray Capo. I mean, originally it was a label that was started, you know, a positive record label, so to speak, putting out positive music. They've put out some of my favorite records, from, you know, Bane to Saves the Day.
That's what I was going to say, man.
So, you know, Equalvision for me was a no-brainer. Even back in the day when Equalvision put out 10 Yard Fight, like, I've always loved Equalvision, back way, way back in the early Shelter stuff. So, you know, it was a perfect, perfect setup for us, where they literally said to us, look, we don't even want you to sign, you know, what's the equivalent of a contract. We want you guys to be partners with us. Let's form a partnership where we're 50-50 partners. You guys have full say of everything. And, you know, we'll just sit back and team up and we'll just support you guys. And we were like, perfect. This is
exactly what we want.
You write music,
we'll put it out. Simple.
Which is
That's really how it should be, man.
Yeah,
and totally, totally. So we had, after that 2019 show in November, we had a full tour of Europe planned. Like a month later, like a couple of agencies hit us up. They're like, we want you guys to come to Europe. There's a demand here. Like, let's do it. And we booked a full tour for June of 2020. And then 2 months later, boom, pandemic hit. So coronavirus came in February of 2020 and, you know, stalled everything as far as touring Europe. Everything obviously got canceled for the next like 2 years. So we decided to spend that time writing songs and just continuing to write songs and trying to formulate what we wanted to be. We weren't sure if we wanted it to be a full length, an EP. We were just like, let's just write as many songs as we can. Let's see how they come out and let's just take it from there. At that same time, Against All Odds was turning 25 years old. So we had a plan where we wanted to re-release Against All Odds, but we also wanted to put new music out. So we started kind of like putting this plan together. We tried to get the rights to the original Against All Odds recording, which is owned by Victory. Victory, for those who don't know, Victory sold all of their catalog to Universal.
Universal. So I knew it Universal was one of the big ones. Victory. Yeah. That's fucking
that's
bullshit.
Like the biggest like conglomerate label there is. I mean, they
the biggest
like
corporation,
everything.
Right. So what happens is when you want to, you know, we own the music, of course, we own the music to Against All Odds. We wrote the music, but the recording itself is owned by Victory. And to use that recording, we had to get special permission from Universal to do that. We enlisted a really good friend. He passed away about a year ago. His name was Dave Stein, really big influence for us in the New York hardcore scene. If you've heard of Dave Stein,
he's
an OG New York hardcore guy. He's from upstate New York, very influential. He became a lawyer later in life and helped all hardcore bands. Dave reviewed the contract for us and got in touch. Dave was an amazing guy. We miss him dearly, and we lost him, you know, just a year or two ago. But Dave got in touch with Universal, and because he had the connections to do that, and asked for permission on our behalf to, you know, we just wanted to re-release it. We wanted to do a 25-year re-release. We knew they had no interest in doing it. So it was like, we had heard, I think Snapcase got permission to do something like that, or Earth Crisis. So we were like, hey, why not? Let's just try it. What are they going to say? No. And they did. They said no.
Fucking
they sent us a cease and desist letter. And they said, you know, pertaining to your Article 4 of your contract or whatever it was, like, you cannot use this recording. You're free to, you know, those songs are yours. You own the songs, but we own the recording. You know, I'm sorry, you can't use the recording. So we came up with a good idea. We said, you know what? We'll take our favorite songs from Against All Odds that we play still to this day. We'll re-record them and we'll put out the recording on Equalvision. The hell with it, you know? And we did. We re-recorded 5 songs, 4 from Against All Odds and 1 Perseverance, which is from an EP before Victory. And I think the recording came out awesome. It's like a modern take on like older Shutdown songs, because those songs were originally recorded when we were 17.
Okay.
So hearing it now, you're hearing like a modern version with, you know, just everything's better. Everything from production to just musicianship to just, you know, but it's the same songs. We didn't change anything about the song. So it's a good modern take on the songs. We wanted kids today to be able to kind of relate to something Shutdown did that may not have sounded from all the way back then. So that was how we came out with Still Against All Odds. And then we put 6 new songs out. We wrote 6 new songs and recorded 6 new songs. And Equalvision came up with the idea of doing like a 12-inch vinyl double EP. So we have this 5 songs from Still Against All Odds, which is what we called it. You know, instead of Against All Odds, we just threw the still in front of it to just commemorate the 25th anniversary. And then the second side of the EP is, or really the first side of the EP is By Your Side, which is 6 brand new songs for Shutdown. So it's a double EP where people can get a taste for the older Shutdown, but with a new recording. So it's not like they're listening to something that sounds so ancient, because if you listen to Against All Odds, it sounds like we did it in like, you know, a garage.
Yeah, that's kind of the charm to it.
Yeah, I was going to bring that into it in a second, but
now they can hear Shutdown today and say, okay, well, before I check out the new stuff, here's the songs that people know, at least some of them, like We Won't Forget or Decide or Don't Look Back. And then they can go and turn to the new stuff and say, okay, now I get the evolution of the band. And that was the idea with this 12-inch that's coming out. Like it's 6 brand new songs that I guarantee you people aren't going to see coming. Like what I was telling you guys, we just wrapped up the second video. The second video drops November 13th. And okay, we just finished that. And I just got a copy of it like 10 minutes before you guys, I came on with you guys, and where I'm like, we're doing like little edits and tweaks to it, but it's done. The video's done. And that video is really cool. It's a song called Untouchable. And it's, we did a spoof on the Shake Your Rump video by Beastie Boys. So if you guys have ever seen that,
there's
like a cat on a turntable.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like done in like 4D, but then it's also shot on a roof and like with like a fisheye lens, and you have all kind of antics going on around it. And it's really cool. Like it's a complete spoof of that video, but I think it came out awesome. Kind of like a vintage style video. If you see it, totally different than By Your Side, but that's kind of what we wanted to do. Cause this song, it's going to like, everybody heard By Your Side and they're like, oh man, you know, the whole album is going to be super melodic. Like wait till you hear the next video. That's all I can tell you. Like it's the most aggressive hardcore song you ever heard.
Yeah, so, we were talking about it being melodic, right? Like when we started, we were talking about that. And to me, it sounds like very much like Nitro Records, AFI style stuff.
Oh,
like,
definitely. Definitely, man. I love that. I love Nitro. I love AFI. I love Good Riddance, and you could probably hear those influences on it. What we wanted to do with this new EP was every song has its own feel. So By Your Side, for sure, melodic, definitely has that kind of what I would call like a West Coast vibe to it.
Yep.
Or maybe like an early DC vibe, like almost like a Dag Nasty-ish vibe. Mm-hmm. The next song might throw people off and they're gonna be like, wait, I thought they went melodic, because this is like vintage Shutdown, 100 miles an hour, aggressive, fast, super hardcore, old style song with a sick breakdown at the end, kind of what I would call like a vintage Shutdown song. And I'm really psyched for people to hear that. And then, you know, you go back to probably what we're gonna do, the third single off the album is a completely melodic song. It's a song about autism, written by Dion for his in tribute to his son. And that song, that's like straight. I mean, that's a post-hardcore melodic as you can get song, you know? So it's really interesting how people are going to hear this and how they're going to receive it. I'm really excited about it. Cause every song is different, you know, and I'd be happy to send this to you guys. I'll send you guys the whole release when we're done with this. But yeah, really stoked for people to hear everything.
So I want to go back to Against All Odds as far as the release and whatnot, and then you redoing them. And I think like Ryan was saying, the appeal of the original one is obviously like the garage sound. The snare sound on that album is still my favorite snare, like,
that and sound like the youthfulness of it, really. Because, I mean, you guys were so young when it came out.
And,
so
yeah, and you're angry. Like,
yeah, man.
I always, this is the one thing I see through Shutdown all the way to the new song, all the way from fucking first song, is like, it's all positive and it's all still about, like, getting yourself out of your shit or whatever. Like, that's how I take it, you know? Like, that's the one thing, whether you're being melodic, whether it's, like you're saying, the craziest hardcore song you ever heard, the message is still the same, I think. You know what I mean? And with the
100% spot on.
And with the and with the remix, I think that with everything like adjusted and fixed for today's like stereos, people listening to them on their, you know, most people I guess listen to the music on their phones, right?
Yeah, depends on who you ask, I guess.
But I mean,
but, yeah.
Coming from like, you know, we'll just say music nerd point of view, it sounds so much better coming out of a stereo, dude. Like, because you can, you know, feel the bass drum, you can feel the chugs, you can feel the, you know what I mean?
Well, the production on it
is just like, yeah, like you said, night and day. So I think it was a good idea to do that in the way that you did it, because it is like getting six new songs. You know, and it's cool to
like
hear
too.
To hear the growth, because it's, you know, your voice is different. You're obviously older. You've lived life, and these songs still have a place. You know,
it's different, but you can still like very much tell it's you,
right?
Yeah, and that's always been our vibe. It's, and I appreciate that. Thank you, man. I think the big thing with us was Jerry Farley. He's, you've seen his name a lot with any posts we've made, because he produced the record, he mixed the record, both EPs. So Still Against All Odds and the new record By Your Side, Jerry produced and mixed, full engineer for both. He did it all. And he was one of our best friends from the OG Brooklyn youth crew back in the 90s. He was almost a fifth member of the band at one point in the 90s. We flirted with the idea. He practiced with us. He traveled on tours with us. He did the Indecision tour and Fast Break tours with us.
Is he in this picture by chance?
He is in this picture. He is in that picture.
Okay.
He is actually in that picture. He's the one who looks like Tim VOD with the short blonde dreads. And we used to call him that because only him and Tim from VOD had those short
right there
blonde dreadlocks at that time.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
I can't. Yeah, it's if that's the back of Turning the Tide, that's 100%
yep,
him. So
yep.
Jerry, fast forward all these years later in life, you know, Jerry was an engineer back in the day and became, you know, went to school for this and became awesome at his craft and now fully produces records. He's worked with Method Man. He's worked with Lamb of God. He's worked with Papa Roach. He's worked with, and I'm just throwing out the bigger names, but he's worked with everybody. Sick of It All is obviously the big one. He produced two very, very awesome Sick of It All records.
Did
the
he
last
do Death,
two.
Did he do Death to Tyrants? No.
He didn't
did
do
he?
Death to Tyrants, no.
That one, I like that one too. It sounds like the mix.
You know, I'm bad with the names of the records, but he did the last two Sick of It All full lengths. But Jerry is just somebody more than a friend. He's a brother, and he understands the sound the band wants. He understands how to attain that sound, and it's almost as if he cares like he's in the band. So his input to all this was invaluable. Whether he directed the By Your Side video, this was his concept. You know, I feel like Shutdown is very much, you see him posting, I mean, it's almost like he is a part of the band in his own way, you know what I mean? So he was able to bring us together. We slowly re-recorded those first songs off of Still Against All Odds. And then these new songs came together, you know, during the downtime from the pandemic when, you know, Dion's a school teacher, and when he was home from, you know, not being able to go to school, he was in his garage with his bass, like sending us riffs on a group app and just sending us bass riffs going, I really like this riff. You know, what do you guys think for beginning of a song? And I would literally send him a voice text back and go, I love that riff. Let's put like this part after it. And this is literally like how the concepts of these new songs came together. And it took a few years with all of our schedules and times and timing and all that stuff. But I love the way it came out. I'm super, super excited for people to hear it. I think people are going to be blown away in a good way, but I think people are going to, there's a lot of unexpected on this. Like, just put it that way. Like, By Your Side was really just to get people warmed up. Untouchable, the next one, is going to throw people off because they're going to be like, wait, I thought By Your Side, I thought that was how this record's going to sound. And then Untouchable is going to come out and going to be like, holy shit. And then after that, the song What Are You Thinking is going to come out, which is the autism awareness song, which is a complete ode to our children. And we have all the kids in shutdown singing at the end of that song. We did a mix where at the record closes out with What Are You Thinking. That's the last song on the EP. And there's an acoustic that Steve plays with all of the kids singing in unison to like a campfire style chorus ending. And that's how the record closes out. It'll give you goosebumps because the song is about Dion's son, who was born nonverbal autistic. And he's thriving today. He's 8 years old and he speaks and he's doing great in school, but he was diagnosed with, you know, nonverbal autism. And he basically, Dion dealing with that is what the song's about. The song's called What Are You Thinking? Because his son wasn't speaking when he was young. And it's a really emotional song. When you guys hear it, it'll give you goosebumps. I mean, everyone I've played it for says the same thing. Like, that song brings a tear to my eye, or that song gives me goosebumps. I could almost like, it's almost like something, one of my favorite bands is Ignite. I love Ignite. And it kind of sounds like something off of like Our Darkest Days, like something of that vein, you know, just kind of like a good hardcore song that has like almost like a rock anthem, kind of just such a strong message that it's like just stays with you, you know? So the EP will, I'm excited for it to come out, but I think people that are hearing like one song and maybe prejudging it are in for a surprise when it comes out, because every song is different.
Yeah, you can never make a full assumption of what an EP or album is going to be like just off one song. I mean, you can kind of get an idea, but I've been thrown many times by, like, you hear one song and you're like, okay, I can kind of figure out the record, and the rest is nothing like it.
I think what's really going to surprise people in the shutdown sense of things, though, is like how you're describing it. The other, and like you said, when you were younger and you guys were like, say, forced to do this style or kind of push this out, do that, and then you said you had all this time, and to make an album with songs like you put that much time into, and there is like a varying degree, I think it's gonna pop off really good, because nobody wants, I mean,
I hope so, man. The messages are strong.
It's like, I'm trying to think of an example, like bands that'll have like 10 songs, they'll all be in the same key, you know what I'm saying, and it'll all be like intro, yeah, chorus,
one long song,
breakdown.
Like the album sounds like one long song.
Yeah, and then the next, and then, you know.
Every AC/DC song ever.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like,
yes,
you know, in some bands, that's where they need to be at. But like, Hatebreed's one of them. I love Hatebreed, dude, but like every song's a Hatebreed song, you know what I mean, for the most part?
Yeah.
Shutdown. I love that you guys are fucking doing it like you're saying you're doing it, just because it's going to be a... I can't wait to hear the next
progression.
Yeah.
You're on your own time. You're not
on your own terms.
You're not on Victory's time or their contract or anything like that. You're not on a deadline.
Literally.
So.
Yeah, no. That's it. And the thing is, when we were young, you guys got to understand, like, it's not that the pressure was on us to do big things, but the pressure was on us to just be out there, like, be on tour. Like, we started this full time, like, literally in high school. So it's like, by the time we were, should have been done with college, like by conventional methods, like, you know, whatever, 20, 21, whatever, like we were fully on the road, like submersed in touring. And it wasn't like new to us at that point. It was already like, that was our life and we loved it. And everything about that, I loved, you know what I mean? It was just, when we took a break, it extended a little past when we wanted to, and it just, life kind of falls in the way. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think we all have stories where life kind of just falls onto your lap. You don't really know what's going to happen in the rest of your life, but I'm just happy to be here at this point. And just, you're right about the one thing you were saying about the positive message. Like, it was really important for us with this EP to stay positive in every song that we wrote. And there are songs about, you know, internal struggles. There's a song called Another Day. It's a pretty melodic song. It's on the new EP, and, you know, it's about basically like a man, late 30s, early 40s, a father, internal struggle to, you know, deal with life, whether it's, you know, waking up every day, making sure your bills are paid, making sure your kids are fed, making sure everything is intent. And like, you know, there's an internal struggle every man has that they may not really let out, but they know that they have inside. And Another Day is kind of like facing that challenge head on. And just knowing that, you know, there's a better tomorrow, there's another day, so to speak, you know what I mean? But every song on the record is very powerful in the message of positivity. Obviously, you guys heard By Your Side. By Your Side is a song about suicide prevention that was written in tribute to Regina Corley, who is Dion's aunt. and it's a very personal song, and there's a mental health message there, and just basically letting people know, for me, hardcore, By Your Side, you know, is really what hardcore is all about. Like, when I was young, and probably you guys can relate, when we were kids, like, finding that hardcore scene and going to shows with your friends, like, having people next to you, like, not being alone, like, that really, like, just made you who you are today. Like, it grew you as a person. So, you know, By Your Side is just about knowing that even, no matter how bad you struggle, no matter what your struggles are, just know that there are people that care for you by your side that will pick you up, that you don't have to, like, fall into that tunnel or that dark hole. And so there's a lot of positive messages on it. Every song has a message specifically, but it's all positive, which is really cool. And that's cool for us to be able to share with our kids, you know. Every one of us has kids that are old enough to understand, like, what we're trying to do with this record and what the band's about. And I think when they were young, it was just like, oh, cool, you know, dad's going to Europe or dad's going on tour. But now, like, that they were able to be, their names are on the back of this record. Like, it's, they all took a part in it. So 11 kids, are their names are etched in stone on this record, that they participated on this record, which was very, very special for us. So we just want them to be able to, you know, one day we won't be here, but they could pick up that record, or they could look it up online and know that they have credits on that record, that they were actually participated on that actual music. And that's something that's really special for us with this as well.
Yeah, that's fucking great, dude. It's like leaving something.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
So, well, you got to go ahead.
They'll get my two, they'll get my two pennies. They'll get my 2 pennies a year from Victory Royalties.
Yeah, right. Jesus. So, do you have any plans? Do you guys have any plans of touring, or are you just gonna?
Well, it's funny you asked that. That's what I was about to ask.
Okay. You guys any plans of touring, or maybe doing one-offs? Definitely. Are you gonna tour?
Oh yeah, we're gonna do more than that. Yeah, 2025 is gonna be very, very busy for us. Thankfully,
awesome.
Putting it all together right now. You know, back in the day, we had a booking agent, and we had this and we had that. Now we're doing it all ourselves, so it's a lot of work, man. I'll tell you, some days I'm like, I, because, you know, with the family and my normal day job and then handling this, but this is the fun stuff, you know. I had conversations this week alone about, you know, going back to Colombia next year. We're going to Brazil and Chile next year. We're planning a, we're already on a bunch of festivals in Europe in August. So August 1st to 10th, we'll be in Europe next year. We're playing Punk Rock Rebellion Fest in Blackpool, UK. A couple of other festivals that haven't been announced yet, but really, really cool festivals that we're super, super thankful and excited to be on in Europe. And they'll all get announced in the next few months. But putting all that together now. So we have an agency in Europe, Stronger Bookings. Martine, the singer from No Turning Back, runs that agency. So he's a brother to us. He handles all of our European stuff. And then in South America, we have another friend of 30 years. His name is Will Rubio. He, you know, books all the New York hardcore bands, pretty much all the hardcore bands that come to South America. He's out of Colombia, so he does our South America stuff. So I kind of like have like arms extended in different places. We're working on Australia and Japan for next summer as well. We went to both those places in 2001 and just had the best time. And then in the United States, I mean, yes, definitely. We just have to do it in a way where we basically do like long weekends. So talking to Andrew actually from Berthold City now and Strife, you know, we're going to put a weekend together and do the West Coast with Berthold City at some point early next year. And we're going to do, you know, East Coast, West Coast, South Texas, definitely want to get to Michigan. Definitely plans next year. I think everything's going to get announced really soon. But yeah, to answer your question, pretty much we're going to be loaded up with shows next year.
If you need a roadie, let me know, dude. Totally down to
so
go
funny
to
how many people say that at this stage, you know, back stage, I always laugh about that, because like back in the day we couldn't get, well, because like when we were kids we couldn't beg our friends to like come like help us with like equipment. Yeah. Like come, they're like, nah, get out of here. Where, if it's not New York, New Jersey, like, no, come to Vermont with us. Vermont, dude, I don't want to go to Vermont. Like, how cool would that have been when you were like 18, like just spend the weekend in Boston and Vermont? But now that we're older, every time I tell someone, they're like, come on, you need a roadie now, because it's like all of us guys. We just want to get out, we just want to travel.
Yeah,
I was on the way up, we were telling stories back and forth on the way back from Detroit on the way up, and I was telling a story about, I was at the Shelter in this band Hyde, they played up in Alpena, but I saw the drummer who I kind of like, you know, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, man, let me help you load these in. And I just snuck, and that's how I snuck in, you know, and it was fucking awesome. So I didn't have to pay or nothing. I was just like, I'm with this
Shelter,
guy.
I miss the Shelter, man.
Yeah, the place is, that's probably my favorite place, to be honest.
You guys want to hear a funny shelter story?
Since yes, sir.
We're a Michigan-based podcast now. So we played Detroit a lot. I want to say we probably played Detroit, back then at least 10 times. I'm guessing, but, you know, I remember we played Detroit. Michigan, as general, we played a lot. Anytime we went on tour, we played throughout Michigan. But we were always the band that was known, like I told you guys before the podcast started, like we were always the band that was known for playing, like, the smaller cities that no bands went to on tour. And that was really, to be honest, because we were young and like we were just like load up the shows, put us in a van for 9 weeks or whatever it was. And like we'll play everywhere. You know, we played, I remember on the Against the Odds tour, we played pizzerias, we played VFW halls like crazy. We played somebody's dorm on that tour. But my story in Shelter, my story with Club Shelter.
And the pizzeria too. That would have been awesome.
Oh, dude.
Go ahead.
So we played. First, we played Club Shelter, and then we played St. Andrew's Hall above it. So we've played both. Like, I don't know if it's still called St. Andrew's on the second floor, but the first time we played Shelter was like, I want to say it was Eminem getting big right around then. I feel like he was, but
late 90s.
They were actually shooting. It wasn't him, but they were like shooting a rap video during the day. And they're like, you guys can't come in. They're doing a video shoot here. We're like, oh, cool, whatever. We didn't care, like, who's the rapper or whatever. Turned out to be, it actually was Eminem.
Oh, shit.
So that was, like, an early, early thing. Like, not from, like, but that was, but before, besides that, we're in Club Shelter. And they're like, oh, you know, I think there's, like, 30 tickets to your show tonight. But the show upstairs is sold out. Like, oh, who's playing upstairs? And they're like, oh, that band Lit. And I'm like, who? Oh, the band with the radio song, the, you know, My Own Worst Enemy song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we like basically like, you know, we were kids, man. We were always like to have fun. So we went up there. We didn't get shit in Shelter. Like, you know, the band upstairs got like full catering and, you know, anything they wanted and whatever. And like, but in Shelter, it was like, you're lucky, you know, you get your guarantee. You know, you're the smaller band. You know, right. We were on tour. It was like a weekday night. So like we go up there thinking, I was like, oh, I want to meet these guys. Maybe they'll be cool to us, whatever. Like they weren't around, whatever, but their catering was. So I was like, fuck it. Let's just take their catering. We'll put it down in our, so we like took their, I took like cases of their water, I took like all their
hell
food,
yeah.
I was like bringing it downstairs, and then we like started writing New York hardcore, but like I took a marker, started like graffitiing all over the wall, like I think I wrote Lit sucks like right on the fucking wall, Lit blows, and fucking, and I was like fucking, you know, just being a dumb kid,
but yeah, yeah.
Just, I remember that so well. And then I remember playing, fast forward, we played like 2-3 months later with Agnostic Front, and we were on tour with Agnostic Front. The first time we were headlining in Shelter, the second time we were playing with Agnostic Front on tour, and of course they played upstairs, and we played St. Andrew's on Agnostic Front's, like they're in the dressing room, and they're like in that same dressing room that Lit was in, and now we're in it with Agnostic Front, and they're like, and we're showing them like the Lit fucking sucks like thing that we wrote on the side of the wall and telling them the story. It was just funny. I remember that so well. Another time we played Shelter, we went on tour, Victory put us on tour with Catch 22. We were on a ska tour, essentially. We were a hardcore band on a ska tour, but Catch 22 packed that place out, but it was like 90% ska kids and maybe 10% hardcore kids. So when we played Shelter, it was packed, absolutely packed, but it was all Catch 22's fans. So we come out and we're playing like hardcore songs, and there's like maybe 20 hardcore kids doing backflips off the front of the stage in the Shelter. And I remember Shelter was like that small downstairs. And it was so funny. Like these ska kids were so absolutely scared out of their minds. And we weren't a band that wanted to like scare kids. We actually did that tour to try to get more kids into us, you know? But I think we scared the hell out of so many kids that night. Like it was just so funny. I remember that place really, really well. We had a lot of memories there.
Yeah, the best show I've ever been to was there. Yeah, that's true. You excite some kids.
Yeah.
But the Suicide Machines were huge at that time, too, I'd imagine. Ska was huge back then.
Yeah, plus it's not, I mean, they are two totally different styles of music, but at the same time, they're both, like, have a punk root to them.
Definitely. And by the way, I love Catch 22.
Oh, yeah.
They have, like, Catch 22 had, like, this Operation Ivy vibe, which I loved. I mean, they did American Pie every night, like as a cover song. And, you know, they had like their saxophonist and everything. And like, we would get up on stage and sing it with them every night, like time of our freaking lives. Like we had the best time with them. The shows were packed on that tour. We did 5 weeks with Catch 22. It was in the summer. Every show was a banger. We had our nights where our crowd came and kind of represented, but it was a really fun tour. It's like super different crowd on that tour.
Gnarly, man. Gnarly.
So I have to ask, and I'm sure you've been asked before, but just to be like, you guys were teenagers in your early 20s, like what was it like touring the world as a band, because there's so many teenagers that start bands that would love to even play shows in general that don't even get to, and you guys are touring states, you're in Europe, you're in Australia. What was that like?
It was something that I think we maybe took a little for granted at the time, not in the sense that like we didn't realize how lucky we were, but I would love to go back to all those places now and see and do so much more, because I feel like I know so much more about those places. You know, so there were times like, you know, we went to Japan twice before I was 20, and like, you know, I wanted to sleep, you know, more than I wanted to go look at all the cool places in Tokyo and like go sightseeing, you know what I mean? And, you know, we went to Australia, and, you know, it was just, life was exhausting back then, you know? And it was one of those things where we literally, I could say like, I lived for a few years where every day we woke up in a different city, sometimes in a different country. And it was crazy. It was like, you start to get used to it. And it's something that, it's not that you take it for granted, like, oh, who cares, we're in Italy playing a concert. No, like, you're super happy you're there, but it's like, it's such a lifestyle at some point that you're not thinking how much you appreciate it, so to speak.
Right. Like, you're like, this second is just nature life. You know,
where am
day.
I playing tomorrow? We're like, we love it. Like, I love it. I love getting to a club. My favorite thing is getting to a club. You kind of smell that dirty rawness of the club from whatever happened the night before, but like, you load in, nobody's there, but the music is playing, and you just know like the feel of the show's coming. That's my favorite thing. It gives me goosebumps. But it was fun. Like, you know, listen, we had the best of times, worst of times type of thing. You know, we were kids and we did it all. We got robbed in Europe. Our van got robbed on Easter Sunday. You know, we almost died in a car accident in Iowa because one of the guys fell asleep on the wheel and the van almost rolled over, hit the median.
Holy shit.
I have stories that probably I will tell you this, like, I should write a book, because like the stories that I have with the people that I was surrounded by, we were really lucky. You know, we had people like Sick of It All and Agnostic Front taking us under their wing when we were kids. Looking at that now, it's like, man, how lucky were we? You know, like, we were rolling with Stigma and people like Craig and Lou and Pete and all these people. And it's like, it's not that we took it for granted, but it was like, damn, how lucky were we back then? Holy shit. You know, because I still listen to these bands now. They're legacy bands. And I love all these bands now. So doing it now is a whole new appreciation to it. And doing it now is a whole new aura to it, where it's like, if we go back to these cities, which we probably will, like, I know exactly what I want to do, because I missed out on it, you know, when we were there. First time, you know,
like, you can go to Japan and enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, and it was like, it was just, there was a lot of travel involved at that age. And we didn't really have full control. Like I say, I'll go back to that, where it was like, you know, you're going here, you're going there, here's the van. And I mean, I'm thinking about how old we are now, and we were like a year older than my son now, you know? So it was like, it was a lot coming at us at once. It was a lot of great things happening at once, but it was just, life was very fast, you know?
Right.
And now it's, as we have control over it. So it's like, we're going to go to Europe next August because these are the dates that we have free, but these are the festivals that we're going to play. And it's like, and it's, there's just a whole new appreciation for it. So it was awesome back then, but now it's like, it's, there's something new to it.
I think, you know, if everything happens for a reason, it's like, how fortunate you are to have all those little connections, and then come back at this point in your life to have the opportunity to go to those places and get like that opportunity to be like, okay, I'm not going to sleep away, you know, in Vermont. I'm going to go check some shit out, you know, say what up to like Bernie Sanders, whoever's up in there, you know.
Well, most people don't get to like relive their opportunity.
That's so awesome, man. I'm so like happy for you guys, because you deserve it, you know?
Thank you, man. Like, and I'm happy too. And it's just like, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It happens. The older I get, the more I realize everything happens for a reason. So, you know, that 2019 Europe show happened for a reason, just like whatever happened in the world in 2020 for that 3 years of nightmares that we all lived, like, that happened for a reason. But it all brought us to here, to today, to now. And it's just like, all roads lead to here. And it just makes perfect sense. Our story is written in a way where it's like, it's really beautiful, to be honest with you, because it started so young, and it's not like this merry-go-round of changing members or, you know, ideals or lifestyles. We've actually maintained we're the same people we were 30 years ago. That's why we have these friendships for now, you know, like, we're all the same people. We're still positive. We're still hardcore kids at heart. We're still you know, ready to kind of work and put it in. Like, we don't expect anything. Like, I, it's funny, like, I make a lot of the calls on behalf of the band to try to get on shows and, you know, put ourselves back out there. And it's like, I feel like I'm shopping a demo from our new band, you know, because honestly, like, there's a lot of these young kids that don't even know who we are, but that's awesome. And I want them to be able to relate to me in a way where it's like, I'm not just some quote unquote boomer, what they call us. I'm just, you know, I'm a young hardcore guy at heart too. And right. It's like, we have the same passion, you know, and I want to help kids almost in the way that Rabies helped me, because that motivated me to follow my dreams and do this on a level that I didn't even think was attainable back then. So there's kids probably now at that age that don't think that that's a reality. And I'm telling you, if we were able to do it, of all the bands, like, I guarantee you that anyone's band could do it. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the motivation that I have now going forward with this music. Like, I want to kind of look after younger kids.
Yeah. And I think that's good for them too, for like to discover if they don't know Shut Down already. Like, you might inspire a whole generation of young musicians to pick up and start doing something just based off the fact that you guys were young when you started, because a lot of people really don't think it's obtainable.
I always think if you want really something, like, bad enough, me, and you work hard, you'll get it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's cool. It's just one of those things with hardcore where you don't have to be the best guitar bass player. You don't have to be the best singer. You don't have to be the best drummer. You just have to be four people who love the music, who, you know, enjoy writing music together, who put your heart into it. Why do you put your heart into it? It's not because you're forced to. It should never be something you're forced to do. Like, if it's truly natural to you, if you really love the music, which you guys understand because you love hardcore the way I love hardcore, but if you truly love the music, it's really not hard to get three guys together who play instruments. They don't have to be, again, the best at what they do, including the singer, and just kind of go from the heart, you know? Just, that's what hardcore is about, you know? Just do your thing. Don't worry about what other people think.
On our current episode out right now, with Vic from the Coffin Cats, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically the chemistry is more important than the talent. And their band, that's basically, they're the same three original now again. And he said they tour, they're hardcore road dogs. And he's like, talent will come, or, you know.
Yeah, those guys literally never stop touring.
Yeah, he's like, it'll come, man. But if you guys hate each other, it's never going to work. You got to have fun. You got to like each other, you know?
No, definitely. And you know, those guys all live up north still. And I'm in Florida, but we've never lost touch, you know what I mean? Whether it's having children or families or jobs or careers, or it's never been a situation where, like, we can honestly say we've gone more than a few months without hearing from each other.
Yeah, there wasn't any, like, bitter bullshit.
We're in touch all the time.
Never falling out.
Never, never once. So our story is really different. You know, it's not like what falling out that they have, that they broke up and stopped playing. Like, we didn't have one, you know? Oh, okay. Well, who quit and who, well, nobody quit and shut down. You know, like, we have such a different story that you can't even make any assumptions with us. It's a story that really is unique, I think, from all the other bands.
Another thing,
because a lot of times that is the case, is where somebody split, somebody dropped, somebody got into an argument with this guy. Like, you know, the possibilities are endless there, so it's rare for that. But go ahead, Jeremy. I didn't mean to cut you.
Oh, you're good. One of the another thing that really drew me to Shut Down was you guys had a positive message, but it wasn't straight edge. And I'm not straight edge, or wasn't straight edge, or never will be. But, like, I'm still a positive person, you know what I mean? And again, that's like Youth of the Day. I love all that shit, but, like, I'm also not the type to be, like, screaming, like, straight edge justice or whatever. I'm not edge, you know what I mean? Well, so I think, when Shut Down came, it was like, it was okay to be like, yeah. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it was okay to be, like, quote unquote, in the youth crew, but, like, you know, you're still smoking a joint.
I read in a No Echo interview that you did, Mark, where there was a question that got brought up kind of about that, where you said that you guys never claimed to be a straight edge band because you didn't really want to just tie yourself to that little niche in music, which I think is smart, because I think that has happened with some bands.
Yeah, I think Shut Down, it was weird. So here's our personal edge story. We were straight edge. We were, you know, at that point, 1996 or 95 Shut Down, we were all straight edge, you know. I made demos. And when I made demos in 1995, you might find a demo. We put a couple of demos out and they say X Shut Down X on it. That's like a real vintage demo that probably a couple hundred were made of each. And that was because I was straight edge, and all the members in Shutdown were straight edge. And, you know, we, when we signed to Victory, they knew we were straight edge. We didn't really market ourselves like Shutdown as a whole. If you saw us play, it wasn't like straight edge Shutdown, but there were people that just put it on flyers. There were people, they knew us as a band. We didn't do drugs. We didn't drink. So it was like, if they put us on a show, just depending on the promoter, someone would put straight edge from Brooklyn or not, you know, when we were on tour, not by any means of us directing them to do that. People would ask me all the time, are you straight edge on tour? And I would say, yeah, I'm straight edge. And they're like, okay, well, why don't you wear X's on stage? And I did in 1996. I wore X's when we played CBGBs, but I kind of wanted to identify, as the band started to evolve, I wanted to identify not as me personally not being straight edge, just more, I wanted the band to be able to relate to everyone. I wasn't trying to hone in on just the straight edge community for Shutdown. Yes, we were a positive band. Yes, members of the band were straight edge, but we were not. Yes, we were playing youth crew style hardcore, but we were really different in the sense where we had like these heavy breakdowns mixed with these youth crew songs. So it wasn't just straight youth crew songs. It was almost like Youth of Today blended with a little bit of Madball, with a little bit of Agnostic Front. It was, that was the mix, right? And that was the difference in Shutdown. So when we were getting, you know, with Victory really, it was like, based on what interview we did, you would see either straight edge kids from Brooklyn or some people wouldn't mention it at all. But our whole thing is, our message was, we wanted to connect with everybody. It wasn't, we weren't just trying to identify as a straight edge band to just for the straight edge scene. We wanted not just the straight edge kids, but we wanted people that drink, people that just did whatever the fuck they wanted, to be open to listening to our music. And that was something we always said, to this day, you know? So that is true with the No Echo thing with the straight edge, but I feel like, again, with Victory at that time, that was like a thing, like, yes. So it was like a marketing thing almost. Does that make sense? Not from my perspective, but from there, from the labels. Like, I wasn't directing them to put that, but we were 18 and we didn't do drugs and we didn't drink. So, you know, make your own opinion, right? It was almost like there's no in between, but there is an in between where you can not drink, not do drugs, but not be labeled. And that was kind of where we were at with it.
That's actually, that's exactly how my son is. So I was like, you're like a little, he's like, I don't want any labels, but he doesn't, he's the complete opposite of his parents in a good way.
I mean, I was never straight edge, but I had a long run of probably like 10 years where I didn't drink nothing, anything like that. I just never claimed to be straight edge. I didn't need to. I didn't see any reason for it. Not to say there's anything wrong with anybody who does. It just wasn't for me.
Just to each their own, man. I like, everybody's individual lifestyle is their individual choice. It shouldn't be because of a group of people told you to do something, whatever that lifestyle is. So, you know, be who you are and don't worry about what other people think of you is kind of like what I tell my kids now, you know. It's fun to this day, though. I mean, you know, members of Shutdown, they're straight edge. It's just something that we're not, it's not something that's what we're trying to accomplish with this record. Is not labels. It's the opposite of labels. It's, you know, we want people in hardcore and outside of hardcore to relate to our music from a perspective of just being older and writing music that we feel like can connect with people.
No, I think this new EP it's going to open up a lot more people, just because you have like that melodic stuff in there that it's just easier for people to digest that maybe aren't in, like, they're not into the Madball, they're not into the Agnostic Front. You know what I mean? I think that's a good call.
Oh, I didn't think about that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I just assume everybody who's into hardcore is into Agnostic Front and Madball, but I bet there's people out there who isn't.
No, so. Yeah, for sure. Or even just like people that aren't even in relation to hardcore. Like, you have how many views on YouTube for your videos? Like over 100,000?
I didn't even, you know, last week my kids were really excited,
like,
about
insane.
This stuff. Like, my kids were like, my son was so funny. Like, every hour he'd come down to me and he'd be like, Dad, you got like another like 1,000 views in the last hour. And I was like, is that good? And my son's like, no. If it hits 20,000 in 2 days, then I'll tell you, like, you're going to go viral. This is just like the way my kids talk, you know? And then I was like, all right, let me know on Monday, because it came out on, or I just said to him, I said, let me know when the weekend's over. Because I was like, I almost don't want to know now. Kid, I almost felt like, don't even tell me. Tell me when something good happens. So my kid comes up to me on Monday and he's like, Dad, you broke 100,000. And it was like in like 4 days. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I didn't even realize that. And like, I am someone now, I pretend to be more modern than I am. Like, you know, I can handle myself technology wise, but I'm not somebody that knows algorithms on YouTube. I'm not somebody that knows algorithms on Facebook or Instagram.
I really try to, but apparently I don't either, because that shit is hard.
You know, none of us
do. It's hard to get through.
It's don't even try. It's like a science, you know, but I will tell you who does know it is the people that work at Equalvision. And they're really good hardcore people. Like, the people that work at the label are like hardcore kids, like not kids, but adults. But I call us hardcore kids. We're hardcore kids, the three of us. But the people that work at the label are like hardcore kids, and they know how to target audiences that relate to the music. And I like give them all the credit in the world, like, because like I think like they just did a really good job of promoting the video. I do love the video, and I feel like it's cool things have happened. Like, I think there's a skateboarding community kind of embraced that video, which we didn't even expect to happen. Like, never crossed my mind in the slightest. But, you know, I got a message from one of the guys that works at high up at Santa Cruz Skateboards and like loved the video, sent me a message like the day after the video, wants to use the video like for like some promotional thing they're doing. And I was just like, so all kinds of cool stuff happened from that video, reception wise. People saw it that I didn't expect to see it, that sent me messages, people that I work with, people in my hometown. That
I didn't know you were in a
it.
Band.
Like, yeah. Like, I coach Little League in, you know, Coconut Creek, Florida, little quaint little, you know, middle-class town in suburbia. There's a lot of people from Coconut Creek.
Robbie Lawler, the fighter.
Maybe some professional athletes too, but it's like Western Broward County. And it's funny, like, people saw the video and thought it was really cool. The other thing I think that connected with people with the views, I think the mental health thing, Equalvision really did a good job with that, with like sending it to press in terms of what the song is about. And I think because it's a very catchy song, very simple, but real catchy, like it sticks in your head. So I feel like I'm really, really happy. I was blown away by the views. Like, honestly, like just completely shocked and blown away by the amount of views. We actually said, we're like, we get like 5,000 views, we're happy.
It's 128,000 right now. I just looked at it.
It slowed down a little from the first week, but like,
it does, initially. Psyched. But just to put that into perspective, like, we're happy when like we get a couple hundreds.
Yeah,
the fact that you're like clearing, you know, 100,000 plus it's impressive. So,
you know, end of day, I want to see like, it's all about like the actual album selling, right? And like the pre-orders and, you know, filling shows up and, you know, playing good shows. So this is all for us. Like, it was just the precursor to the bigger picture. You know what I mean? It's like, we want to keep the momentum going, have another video come out in 2 weeks, which was the plan from 6 months ago. We had this like kind of master plan, video, new record, you know? Just to keep people hyped up, you know? And like I said, the idea with the second video was to throw people off from the first video, to be like, wait a minute, what is this new record gonna sound like? I really like By Your Side. Wait, there's gonna be people that love By Your Side. They hear this song, they're gonna be like, not so sure.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna hear, what are you thinking? And then they're gonna come right back.
Yeah, that's so, just it, man.
Kind of like our plan with this. Like, we want people to like, I really, to be honest, I was happy when I saw like 99% positive stuff, thankfully, for By Your Side. And I'm really happy about that, you know, but when a couple people, even close people like, listen, we have really close friends and it's okay to not love our new stuff. Like, but like a couple people like messaged me, or one person sent me a message like, I love you guys. I love the band. I just was hoping you guys would go in a heavier direction, not in a more melodic direction. And it wasn't disrespectful. Like, the dude didn't come off like mean or like dicky, you know, like, and I was like, dude, give the record a chance.
Yeah, you got 2 minutes in.
I promise you, like, there's something for everybody. And that's kind of like my message with this EP. You know, I think my thing is just, I just want kids to hear it and dig it. And I want to be able to, we want to be able to travel. Like, I got all these guys on board. Our families are, because I feel like it was part of the plan. Let's involve the kids and let's involve our families on this record. Let's make it that special. And if the record does good and we're in a position to go back on tour, our families already gave us the full green light. Like, all four families like are like, you guys can do this to the maximum of however you want to do this. Of course, we all have full-time jobs. So it's not to say we can just drop everything to tour, but I would say 2025 is going to be a year where you probably will have seen Shutdown somewhere close to your town where you haven't been able to do that in the last 25 years.
Yeah. Well, if you get anywhere close, man, I'm there.
Yes.
And I'll get my permission to mosh card from my old lady.
You got to get that card. I know. Yeah. I stopped getting mine after I herniated 3 discs in my back. last year. We went to Mexico and Colombia, and you know, it's a couple of flips off the stage later. Like I, you know, I came home with a bad back, so now I'm like dealing with like 45 years old and bad back problems every day. So my moshing card days are over. But it's funny, like I could still jump around and on stage and stuff like that. Like I'm not like crippled or anything. But yeah, it's funny. I don't get that get out of jail free card to like get in the pit unless it's like maybe like a Gorilla Biscuit show. Then I could just, of course, I'll be up front singing the words.
Yep, I get like, yeah, it's got to be special occasion. Last night, not saying that last night wasn't a special occasion. I'm sorry, all the bands there were sick, but I promised to be good, and I didn't want to be all fucked up for this, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, you come back home all, like, bloodied up. Yeah.
We pay the price, dude. We're sore for, like, 2 weeks after we do that. Oh, trust me. I know. Like, I can't help it sometimes. Like, Madball's playing next weekend here.
Yeah.
Like, Madball's, like, my favorite hardcore band. So, like, they'll play, like, I'll always say, like, I'm not going to do it. And then all of a sudden, they bust into Set It Off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that first riff and Set It Off. And I'm like, God, don't do it. It's like, yeah, it's like a self-control thing. I'm like, don't do it. And then it's like, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, I was trying to explain that to my fucking kid, you know, and because he kind of gives me shit, or used to, and then I had a, like a father-son heart-to-heart. Now he's like, I get it. But he always thought it was like, he's like, I don't understand these crazy fucking people. And I'm like, well, I mean, you got to like read the lyrics and blah, blah, blah. And you were raised better than I was, so you don't need this shit, you know, and that's how it is. It's cool, you know?
That's literally how it is. I think people don't connect to this until they come to a show. I brought my 12, well, he's 15 now, but I brought my then 12-year-old son to a show, and he was in a real, like, heavy hip-hop phase at 12. Like, he was wearing Eazy-E shirts and listening to N.W.A. was, like, his favorite band. And him and his friends were like in the old school rap channels on YouTube, which was cool. I thought it was cool. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, you, how about this? Like, check this out. Anything with like a guitar, he didn't like. It was only rap he liked, you know? So I was like, let me take you to a festival down here called Equinox Fest. Equinox Bookings is a conglomerate of like two or three kids in Broward County that do shows. And every show that they're like the newer booking, you know, the newer people that book shows down here, like for the last 3-4 years, a group of kids that put on shows in Broward County, and every one of their shows is packed, and they do a festival every year called Equinox Fest, which is right by my house. Like when I tell you, like I could walk to it, like blocks away from my house. So I took my son So I took my son in 2021. This was, they did the one of the first shows after like the pandemic was on hold, October of 2021. So it was like right when shows were kind of starting up again. They did one, and Shattered Realm headline. And I brought Julian, my 12-year-old at the time. And dude, like the second he walked in and saw people like moshing and stage diving, he was so like, you could see, like, it was almost like when my eyes lit up, the way my eyes lit up when I was his age, like, you could just see it was like a whole new world for him, you know? What he thought it was from maybe me in the car listening to the music and just thinking it was like crazy music to what he saw in person, where he met Combust played. I remember Combust was so good that day, and they were like, you know, they're great now, but they were like younger even 3-4 years ago. And Shattered Realm played, and like Joe Hardcore came up to him and gave him a hug, and he's like, hey, man, he's like, pleasure to meet another generation of Scandados, and just treated him like he had known him for 20 years. You know, my son had never been treated like that. And he was like, Dad, how do these guys, like, why are they so cool to me? Why are they so cool to us? He's like, why? Cause of you. I'm like, no, cause it's a hardcore show. You see how everybody walks up to each other, says what's up, gives each other a hug, you know, kind of hangs out. I'm like, this is a gathering. It's not just like you go to a concert. Like this is like a community of people that really consider themselves family, that just hang out, trade records, sing words to their favorite bands. Go, and it's a culture is what I explained to him. He fell in love with it. That's awesome. Literally like fell in love with it. The next day he went and discovered Turnstile, and then he started listening to Turnstile. And then he showed me and he's like, are these guys considered a hardcore band? And I was like, kinda, that's a trick question.
That's a gateway. It's a gateway, man.
But I told him, I was like, I love this band. Yes, they are they started as a hardcore band. They're doing big things now. But I'm like, I love that you like this band, because it totally, that for him was like the gateway.
Yeah.
Now he's listening to other stuff. And like, it's funny. I just took him to Equinox Fest, which was their last one. I forget what, this is like the fifth edition they just did last weekend. And there were a couple of really cool bands from Massachusetts that played. Can't think of the names right now. Ugh, I made friends with both of the bands too. Two really young, new, fresh bands, you know? And one of the best bands from Broward played Domain, who's like a really heavy band, awesome band from Broward County.
Yeah, dude,
we know
Domain. Our 100th episode was Contention from down there.
Yeah.
They're label mates with Domain.
Contention's dope. Contention's dope. Florida's got a great scene right now, man. So long story short, I took the kid. He loved hardcore. He goes to shows now with me. He's a skater. Like I was telling you guys before the podcast, he's a skater. That's what he devotes his whole life to, skateboarding. But we both know that skateboarding and hardcore has a real close connection. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm just waiting for him to like pick up a Gorilla Biscuits record next. Because what's cool about the video with By Your Side is he really loves that video because it's skateboarding. And he showed it to all his skateboarding friends who loved it also. And so now his skateboarding friends are like, kind of like in the video, they're kind of going down the rabbit hole. Yeah. Now he's like really, really getting into it. I'm like, oh, my master plan worked.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I mean, hip hop has a close tie too as well though, because like that's how I discovered like Atmosphere and a lot of the Rhymesayer stuff was skate videos. It was all on there.
Esham was playing last night. That was another show like I could have went to.
Yeah, that was the King 810 and TJ's Escalation Force. Yeah. Yep.
Crazy, right?
I'm a big hip hop guy. Like a lot of the newer hip hop, I'm not crazy about, but Shutdown always had a hip hop influence in the sense that not with the writing, but because we were four kids from Brooklyn and we grew up in, you know, the time of Biggie, like our intro, probably when we played Michigan back then, like we always played like either No Sleep Till Brooklyn by Beastie Boys or any Biggie song, like anywhere we went, like that was like our thing. Like every time, like that was like our intro, like Biggie or Beastie Boys. Hip hop was always a big part of like Wu-Tang, Beastie Boys, Biggie Smalls.
Speaking Nas, our language, like, dude.
DMX. Everything that came out back then, real for me, like Jadakiss was my favorite rapper back then, and anything that the Lox did. But that was like consistent in our van touring. Like we always had hip hop in the van. Like we always, because of course no band listens to just hardcore. Come on, like that's crazy. So we're in our van. Like we would have, you know, the of course you have the CD books back then, right? Remember those CD books? But we had like the metal book, and then we had the hip hop book, and then we had like the pop punk emo book. And then of course that was always my book. They always used to make fun of me. And then we had like, you know, the heavy hardcore book. And then we had like the Youth Crew hardcore book. This is how many fucking CDs we had. But hip hop's always been closely related to hardcore. Always, always, always. That's why I tell my son that.
Those books took up a lot of damn room too in the car, especially if you got the real wide ones that held 400.
Yeah, man.
And they were heavy as fuck like, when you fill them up.
Keep them on the windshield, but then they were too big, so you had to put them under the seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why your heat's not working because you're blocking all your vents. Your fucking CDs literally are melting and stuff.
Literally.
Oh, that's nuts, man. Oh, so when you mentioned Shattered Realm, that was the last band I danced for. Shattered Realm.
Yeah, man.
I fucking love that band too. They're
still
awesome.
Doing it. It's cool to see bands from you know 20, 25 years ago that just still consistently play and just do shows. I'm all for it, man. I like it. There's something about playing. I know that other people feel what we feel, but like for me, just playing shows, like I love it, man. I love it. I love packed shows. I love playing big shows, but we could play a show for the 30 kids. If the 30 kids that are there enjoy it, like it is the funnest time for us. To this day. And I think the day that it's not fun playing live, I think that's probably the day we know we're like kind of exhausted it, you know, but we still have so much fun when we play live. You know, last year we were able to go to 10, oh, this is 2024. Yeah. Last year, 23, we were able to go to like 10 or 12 countries. We did Europe with One King Down and No Turning Back.
Oh,
and then we
my
went to
God,
Mexico.
Dude.
Yeah. And then we Sick. Went to Mexico and Colombia on our own. We played Mexico City with the Gorilla Biscuits. And we played Colombia with like all the awesome newer bands, like, you know, Raw Brigade and Dead Heat and Big Boy. And it was such a good time, man. We had such a great time. So it's like as on every show that we play, we're happy to be there. And hopefully next year just get to do a lot more.
Yeah. Bloodlust Revenge was a big record when I was younger for me, too.
Oh, yeah. That's so an iconic record for sure.
But so you have any... I mean, I don't know. What do you got?
I wanted to ask something. New bands that you're into, what have you been listening to lately? I know you said you're into a lot of older stuff, but I'm curious about newer stuff.
I really, really like Domain, definitely. I like, I don't know if you guys heard, they're not that much newer, but they're Stateside, California. They just put out a new single. It's really good. I like it.
I've heard the name, but I haven't listened to them. Somebody else interviewed mentioned them too.
They're more
I
like,
can't remember.
Yeah, well, I just saw the video a few days ago, so it's just stuck in my head. I always kind of freeze. Raw Brigade, I actually saw them a few weeks ago. I got the vinyl behind me because I got it a few weeks ago from Carlos, the singer. Shout out to Carlos. But they're really good, like just really good raw hardcore music. I really like them. End It is definitely one of my favorites End from the newer sick. Generation. I just like what they're about. I feel like End It's a band, I feel like, that Rabies would have loved, like, in a weird way, because like they just have like a rawness, a realness to them.
Yeah,
you
they're
know, like
fun.
They're not like they're not trying to copy anything. Like they're just doing their own thing, you know, which I really respect about them.
God, I think they played Detroit like 10 times already.
And
like,
it,
they're
yes.
almost like a like
I've
a,
seen
a
them
Detroit,
on quite a few bills.
Like almost a Detroit band now, because I've already seen them twice.
There's
I haven't
a band,
seen them, but I remember seeing them on a lineup like 3 times just last year.
They're great, man. And then there's smaller bands. Well, not even smaller, but just newer bands. I mean, I say newer, but they've come out. Of course, like you say, they're not like 20 years old, but they come out in the last few years. But like there's a band out of Colorado, a straight edge band called Time Heist.
We had them
really
on.
Like
we
them.
Interviewed them, yeah.
Awesome.
They're
Mark
fucking
is a great
sick,
guy, man.
Positive.
I'm friends with him. Positive, fast, hardcore. I
yeah,
love
dude.
That. You know, I know Berthold City isn't really new, but I like anything Andrew does. I always give shout out to because I love what Andrew does musically in the band. So West Coast, Berthold City. I really like those bands that we play with. And they're both from California, Big Boy and Dead Heat. Really good. Dead Heat is like real thrashy.
Yeah.
And Big Boy is dope too. Like you can definitely tell like the Biohazard influence. It's really cool to meet these young bands overseas. Like, it's like I say, like, we played with No Pressure as well, played the Columbia show, and I thought, although they might not be a straight hardcore band, they're really good, man.
Yeah.
Really catchy songs, and just that singer is so freaking talented.
I saw them play last year, and I went into the show with that kind of like, who the fuck? And they put on the show, and I was convinced. I was a believer,
no,
man.
No, they're really good. I mean, they sound like kind of like early Saves the Day, Blink 182, but kind of with like a little hardcore edge. Like,
yeah, they got
really
an edge.
Catchy. Sorry, I'm the only guy who wears earpieces. Me and I saw a thing where Scott Vogel said I'm the only guy that wears earpieces now, and I'm like, no, I'm old too. I wear an earpiece. But yeah, newer bands besides that. I mean, there's so many. My mind goes blank. Contention's really good. I like to kind of shout out Florida bands. Power Play from Broward County. They're another up and coming good band. Many bands, dude. But as far as I'm trying to think, then you talk about like heavier bands, kind of just like newer, but I really love Kublai Khan. They're super heavy, but
I was just talking about them. They're doing that fest in Reading, PA.
Okay.
Like,
I was like, I literally just seen something on Instagram this morning with them on it.
Yep. And then I like, you know, switching it up. I really like Drug Church. I'm down. I like stuff like that, like
that
post hardcore stuff that's catchy like that is within our music. Those are some of the bands I can't even tell you how many podcasts I do where like I have all these bands I want to say in my head. And every time someone asks me that, I go blank. Like I can't even explain it to you. And I'm like, damn, why didn't I shout out this band when I'm listening to them all the time?
Yeah. That happens anytime we get asked that or like. Anytime I notice we ask that question, it's because it's like you want to process everything at once, but you can't get it all out.
Dude,
so you're like, I don't
want to
miss this band,
but
I got to mention this band. And then you're going to finish and you're going
like,
to be like, fuck, I forgot.
Shuffle to my phone and be like, I know I'm forgetting. Who am I forgetting right now? But like, literally, that's kind of where I'm at with it. But there's so much good new hardcore. That's the good thing, right? Like we could talk about new hardcore for hours. There's so much. I really like Pain of Truth, you know? I like what they're doing. They work their ass off. They tour like nonstop, which I can relate to from what we used to do.
Hold My Own.
I just like that they're
listening to Hold My Own.
Hold My Own's yes.
They're
very, very good.
I think they're one of the, like you were just saying, they're one of the hardest working bands. I think, dude, they'll fucking play anywhere, anytime, man.
Simulacra is a great newer band. We played with them in Europe for a show. And I know one of the guys in Simulacra is in Gridiron. Gridiron's kind of cool. I listen to them as well. There's so much new hardcore,
it's
dude.
Awesome,
I mean,
isn't
a
it?
Lot of these bands, and of course, like from New York, like I feel like you know the new wave of, you know, leaders of the pack, so to speak, are probably like bands like Combust. You know, the New York hardcore now is very different than what it was, you know. But
right.
Combust kind of carries that Killing Time torch, that like Breakdown Killing Time kind of torch for New York hardcore, which is very important one to carry. And then of course, like you have, you know, a few of the bands that. You know, Mind Force, of course, is like one of my favorite newer bands, but they're not newer anymore. I mean, they're like a legacy. At this point, Mind Force is like a legacy band.
Yeah, right.
So, but For me, compared to Shutdown, they're newer, but their Mindforce for sure is probably top of the heap for New York hardcore right now.
That
they are awesome.
When I saw those guys live, and that was one of the bands that, like, when they just had to ring out, dude, and I could you get that feeling inside, and then I got that, you know, old lady in my ear like, don't do it, and you just can't fucking help it, you know. And they put on a hell of a show, dude.
They're awesome, man. They're like the rebirth of like Born to Expire Leeway meets like some, like, I can't even explain it. They've got a vibe to it that's just so catchy. It's definitely in the vein of Leeway, which I am I love old Leeway. I am a big Leeway guy. So like they won me over. Once I heard the vocals for Mindforce, I was like, I like these guys. Yeah, but they're so thrashy.
The vocals is that's what sold me on the band, because there's a lot of times where you hear a band and you're like, is this? And then they're, you know, you got to guess kind of, because a lot of things can sort of sound the same, but immediately that's distinctive and you can pick it up.
Yeah, you know who it is.
Oh, for sure. And he's for sure. He said it many interviews. He's very influenced heavily by Eddie Sutton, Jay from Mindforce.
Yep.
And he has that hip hop influence, which back in the day, if you used to see Leeway, that was Eddie Sutton had a major hip hop influence into his singing and songwriting and stage presence. Jay has that same kind of vibe. So I really enjoy Mindforce, because to me, nobody's ever been able to kind of compare it to that style that Leeway has, you know. So Mindforce does it really, really well.
Yeah. Bayway is another band that is newer that has that sort of hip hop and hardcore blend. Yeah. Sort of like
Bayway and Gridiron.
Yeah, sort of like E-Town continued is what I definitely what I called it.
Yeah, you should definitely go back and check out some of our episodes, because a bunch of those bands you mentioned earlier we've had on.
Oh, awesome, man. Yeah, no, and that's cool, bro. That's a whole different branch of hardcore, you know. E-Town really started it. Even Candiria in the early stages always had that hip-hop influence.
Biohazard,
you know?
Too, for sure.
Biohazard, of course, being a Brooklyn kid, of course, like, you know, State of the World Address and you know, Punishment.
When Nas wore that Biohazard shirt is when, like, it seemed like it kind of set things off for that.
Or even Mobb Deep with Sick of It All, really.
Yeah, dude, yeah, those shirts are so cool. Right.
So I think like that.
He does. Got it from a buddy here. Got it from a thrift store. A Sick of It All.
See, this
fucking
is the thing. When I was younger, going to shows at CB's, and I was 14 when I was going to shows at CB's, and I was like weekly, right? And I loved hip hop at that time. Like, I was Biggie was like my favorite artist. You know, it was 93, dude. Like, Ready to Die just came out. Like, I was a freshman in high school. That was it. That was, you're a Brooklyn kid. Like, that's the Bible.
That's the Bible golden day fucking era. You grew up at the
you
right.
You know every word. You learn every word to every song of Ready to Die from the day it came out. White, black, Chinese, or indifferent. If you're from Brooklyn, I promise you, you own that record and you know every word front to back. And that was literally like, it didn't matter what you were. It didn't matter. I saw metalheads in Brooklyn in 1993 just as much as I saw hip hop heads, just as much as I saw people you would never think. That was like the Bible in Brooklyn. So like, I brought that mentality to going to my first hardcore show, is going to CB's or whatever. And I realized that all these people loved hip hop. Like, all these dudes at shows, like, they look different, but they all secretly loved hip hop. Even those dudes in Doc Martens over there listened to freaking Nas. So it blew my mind. And my brothers would start to introduce me to people, and they'd be like, yo, there's a really close tie from like hip hop to punk to hardcore, like, because it's all kind of underground. And
I've always looked at it as like, it's they're both freedom of expression. Like, hardcore is very much as hip hop is.
Definitely. And we never incorporated it into any music that we did, but it was a big influence on us. I mean, for Beastie Boys, are all four of us can say the Beastie Boys are like, that's why spoofing on the new video, spoofing the Shake Your Up video, was like fun for us, because we know every Beastie Boys song. We know every Beastie Boys lyric. Like, that's another thing for us growing up as kids in Brooklyn. So being able to do that was good fun for us with this next video that we're doing. And E-Town, I was just about to pay them homage because I love E-Town, but like, they started this really like trend, which I give them, shout out to E-Town. We played some of their earliest shows with them. Still really cool dudes. I love those guys, and respect to them for still doing it 2024 and just still, you know, on a level where they have major influence on a lot of these younger bands and younger kids. Like, I saw the interview with the singer for Gridiron talking about how E-Town is like a huge influence on their band, you know. So they really paved the way for like a lot of the, and Bayway and all those bands. I know E-Town's a big influence on them. So really cool to see that like evolve, you know, all these years later, because when E-Town first came out, they'll tell you a lot of people gave them shit.
Fuck yeah, they did.
A lot of people fell in love with them, but a lot of people also gave them shit. And Shutdown can relate to that, where when we came out, we weren't doing hip hop, but a lot of people gave us shit. We were too young. We weren't good. We sucked. My voice sucked. Everybody threw threw the kitchen sink at us. You know what I mean? And it was like, who cares? Just put your instruments in the van, play every city in the country you can play, put records out, and the people that like you will shine through, and the people that hate you will probably take a backseat and you'll never talk to them again. And that literally is what happened. You know what I mean? Like, we met the coolest people. We stayed consistent friends with these people, and it's just like we kind of tuned out the noise. E-Town created a movement, which is what I was just trying to pay homage to. Like, it's incredible what they did, really, and what they're doing now, because it's kind of like what Marauder's influence is on now in hardcore. It's like, I never saw that coming 30 years ago. But, you know, Marauder, by all purposes now, ask a kid who Agnostic Front and who Marauder is, and the kid's going to tell you who Marauder is. So yeah. It's crazy the way hardcore's evolved and the direction it's gone, but it's cool to see bands that we came up with get all this, you know, respect, because they deserve it.
Definitely. Just as I think you do too, man.
And yeah, I was going to say, you were talking about legacy bands. I would say you guys are kind of lumped into that category as well at this point. I mean,
I got a question about this album before I forget.
Yeah.
What is the wrap it up, stick it in, and roll 'em? What's that from?
So that song, I always tell this story, but we wrote that whole record. So here's the quick version. Victory signed us in December of 97. I went to a Strife show at Irving Plaza. And I want to say it was a big show. I want to say it was Shelter and Strife. It could have been at Irving Plaza in December of 1997. It was a big show. And I met with the Victory guys at that show. They had already seen us play at CB's at the Rabies Benefit that October, 2 months before that, in October 97. And the dude like had contracts with him, and he was like, hey, who can't sign the contracts? Cause who's not 18 and you know, whose parents need to be here? We're like, well, wait, we need to like, what are we signing? Oh, Victory. Sure. Whatever you want us to sign. But ultimately we actually had Dave sign, look at the contracts. And after we signed to Victory that month, Tony from Victory was like, well, you guys got to record your full length. Like, all right, we'll let you know as soon as the songs are done. He's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, no, I already booked a studio. You guys are going into the studio next month. You'll spend 3 weeks there. Who do you want to produce the record? We'll get you. We got to get you guys somebody older so they could help you guys. You're too young to be in the studio by yourself. We were like, who do we want? I don't know. You know, maybe who can we ask? We didn't know Roger from Agnostic Front at that point. We didn't know Freddie. Rabies was really our only outlet to New York hardcore, and Rabies had passed away.
Yeah.
So at that point we weren't like embedded into this like New York hardcore family where like every band was like, you know, take you under their wing. We were starting to get to know people past Rabies' death, but Rabies passing away was actually how I met a lot of these guys, like at his funeral. Believe it or not, they're like, oh my God, I heard about you. Ray told us all about you guys. You know, Agnostic Front was doing a lot of touring back then, so we didn't even get to meet Roger till after Rabies died.
Oh, that's
and insane. Then I met Roger and became close with Roger out of, you know, because Rabies' two best friends were Jimmy Gestapo and Roger Moret. Coincidentally, the two people that produced Shutdown's first two albums were Jimmy Gestapo and Roger Moret. That's the craziest connection of all. But they almost did it out of respect to Rabies because they were his best friend and they knew what we meant to him. So with Against All Odds, we wrote 7 out of those 12 songs in the studio, like just put riffs together. And on the fly, and Craig ahead came, Jimmy Gestapo, and said, I'm going to invite some New York hardcore guys to come here and help you. Craig ahead was one of those guys, Craig from Sick of It All. So we never met him till that day. He brought Craig into the studio. We're like in awe of Craig because at this point, Scratch the Surface came out and we're just like, that's like the greatest hardcore record ever. Right? We're just like that's what Craig ahead meant to us. You know what I mean? And he was in the studio with us and we're 17, 18. And he's literally like writing songs on the Craig ahead bass with us. Like we're writing this, We Won't Forget song, tribute to Rabies. And then the Warzone guys came in, you know, Vinny Value, rest in peace, Vinny, and Todd from Warzone. Damn. And Jay from Warzone all came to the studio and we're sitting in a circle writing this song for Rabies, We Won't Forget, where we're trying to incorporate Rabies lyrics from Don't Forget the Struggle and In the Mirror and songs like that, but also pay tribute to Rabies, like, because Rabies, of course, said Don't Forget the Struggle, and we were saying We Won't Forget.
Right.
That's how that song came out. So we wrote that song there, and just like we wrote 6 or 7 of the other songs there, and it was a very rushed process. It was very, like, it was the most punk rock thing you could do, dude. It was like, here's the riff, Jimmy, play a fill, let's put it on, let's record it, you know? So with that song, Wrap It Up, Stick It In and Roll 'Em, that song is about safe sex. At that time, that was a big thing.
Now, see, I thought that's what it was about when I was a kid. For real, like, yeah. I was like, I think it's about, you know, it's about putting a rubber on, but I wasn't sure, so I'm glad you explained it. And I always thought it was funny.
In the
vein of
positive messages, yeah. So, and at that time, like, AIDS was like a really big thing.
Yeah.
So, Wrap It Up, Stick It In and Roll 'Em was Jimmy's, like, just Jimmy Gestapo just fucking around before we did a take of that song. You
so
know?
That's Jimmy's
and
voice.
He kept it. That's Jimmy from Murphy's Law's voice. Just yeah, like yeah. at the end of Against All Odds, there's 15 minutes yeah. of, like
extra, the banter like, shit, yeah.
bullshit, like that he just recorded, like, you know, like he said, like, Mark, you don't use a bong because you're straight edge, but it's okay to smoke a eucalyptus bong. It's good for your lungs, you know?
yeah. It's like, funny.
It's like, inhale the eucalyptus. It's good for your lungs. It's going to loosen up your voice. It's just so funny. So like all those outtakes are on the end of the album.
Yeah.
And then we even do like, Dion just started playing like, what did he start playing? Like, and he started playing like Another One Bites the Dust or something, and like we just started having like chanting Brooklyn in the background, like dumb shit, you know.
Fun.
All that stuff is at the end of the album. I mean, that is the most rawest record you'll ever hear, from the fucking first song to like the 16 minutes of outtakes at the end of the fucking record.
And I love it. It's in my top five of all time, dude.
Thanks, bro. Like that's way, way too kind of you. It's a record that I'm proud of in the sense that, like, we were young and we were meant to do it at that time. You know what I mean? I would have changed 30 different things about it today.
Everybody would change everything about their past shit.
But the coolest thing about it is it brings me to places like here to have these conversations. And I know that that record did affect a lot of people in a positive way that we met. And I appreciate that. And it makes me happy. Do I go back and listen to that record? Sometimes I don't, because I don't know. Like, it's like I think about the process and everything that led up to like what we did with that record. I'm like, yeah, you can, I'm 45 and I can tell I wrote that song in like 30 seconds right now. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But I can appreciate it for what it is now. You know what I mean? And I can appreciate those songs, which again, like I like to listen to the re-recordings because I'm like, all right, this is what we wanted it to be.
Definitely. And I, like I said before, the new ones, I love that you guys re-recorded them like that instead of just getting it remastered or whatever you were going to do originally.
Yeah.
So we always get towards the end of the episode, if you watched, we always ask, like, what's something that you listen to that people would not expect? But I know you listen to a lot of shit different. So,
yeah, yeah.
So what's something that you listen to that nobody would expect?
Probably there's so much, dude. You got to be frightened to see the things I listen to.
I mean, you got to try to scare us. Most out there thing. What do you got?
I'm waiting.
The most out
not
there.
Not out there. Out there for
Pavarotti or something.
Yeah.
No, that's like, oh, no. Dude. So, like, we cook every night in my house. And, like, it's funny you say that because, like, Pavarotti is, like, automatic, like, on the Bluetooth. Like, we like to listen to, like, Italian cooking music. And that shit just comes on, like, fucking on shuffle.
That's hilarious.
So, that's given. I want to like throw you guys off because there's so much shit that I listen to, right? Even things that from my kids that influenced me, but I would say like I listen to country music. I like Zach Bryant, you know.
That's a good one.
I like Zach Bryant for the main reason that I like melodies and hooks, and that guy can write a fucking hook like you have no idea. And I just like stories behind the singer, and that guy has an amazing story where he wrote songs like on YouTube, like, you know, for no one, and just started, unfortunately that guy had like a drinking problem, but like he started basically like writing songs on his guitar on YouTube and like wound up like just pouring his heart out. And like that's someone that wears his heart on his sleeve. Another band that I like that people would probably be shocked, I love the Lumineers. They're like one of my favorites. I like folk music as I get older. Like I like music with melodies. I've always liked pop punk because it has melodies. You know, like back in the day, I would listen to like Newfound Glory and Saves the Day and all that stuff. And my band would always laugh at me. They'd be like, Mark's the emo guy in the band, you know, Taking Back Sunday and all the emo stuff that came out on Victory. I love Thursday and all that stuff. But
Thursday
now
was
I'm 45.
Sweet. Newfound Glory was good. We
like
that stuff.
Yeah, somewhere. I'll give you one. Like, I like Jelly Roll. Like, Jelly Roll is cool, man. You know, outside of that kind of music, I mean, stuff that my kids bring me, you know?
It's funny that you say Zach Bryan, because my girlfriend the other day messaged me and was like, I have something to tell you, but please don't leave me. And I was like, all right, what?
That's never a good opener.
I know, no. But I knew it was nothing like serious, because, you know, so she's like, I think I like Zach Bryan. And I was like, get your shit and get out of the house. And I was like, I'm just kidding. And she's like, okay, but don't tell anybody. Let me leave with some dignity. And,
oh, that's hilarious.
But then I listened to him later that day, because I never really listened to him. Like, I know him by name. But she was playing him in the house later that day when she was cooking and we were hanging out upstairs. And I was like, oh, this dude isn't really like country. He's more like singer-songwriter type of thing. Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is the guy you were like telling me you're kind of embarrassed about. I was like, he's pretty good, actually. Like,
we get scared, man. Yeah, no. And I'll be honest, my wife got me into Zach Bryant because she knows that I like people. Like, here's the thing. we talk about like melodic hardcore. I like anything with a melody at this point in my life. Like, I like melodies, not really too poppy, but just melodies in general. When I hear acoustic guitars and really good singers and melodies, sometimes I'm just a sucker for it, you know? And I feel like the Lumineers and Zach Bryan hit those marks. There's so much funny things that pop on our it's funny because we listen to a lot of music in this house, and like we have the Bluetooth on, and like it always comes on shuffle, and like, what the hell, whose mix is that? And it's always mine. And like, Dad, what are you listening to? Let me think of like something that you guys would be shocked that I listen to.
I was already kind of shocked by Lumineers and Zach Bryan.
Yeah, the Lumineers.
Yeah, I don't listen to dance music. I hate anything related to dance or electronic music. I just like anything related to like techno, dance, electronic. I just can't stand that music.
See, I can but dig on anything some electronic outside music. Of that.
I don't like EDM per se, like rave music, but electronic stuff like Depeche Mode, Sisters of Mercy, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
I love shit. All that stuff.
Oh, no, I could definitely get down with that. You know, my brothers were always on the more gothic side of things. Like, my brother Mike went to King Diamond on Halloween, actually. That was, like, his thing. Like, my brother's, like, diehard King Diamond guy. Sisters of Mercy, for sure. Love Sisters of Mercy, my brothers. I don't know. I mean, just your general stuff. Like, I think most hardcore people have a lot of roots in the UK stuff. Like, in my house, my wife and I, we love the Smiths. We love, you know, anything really out of old. Anything out of 80s, the UK, like, we're listening to it. You know what I mean?
Joy Division, New Order.
Joy Division, all that stuff, that stuff. So, but that's not really any shocker. I think most hardcore people have roots in that stuff, right?
Definitely.
That's pretty much it. I mean, with today's music, I'm open to it all. I think on the hip hop side, I love J. Cole. He's not newer, but I really like what he does with hip hop. Like, to me, he's like a real artist. I don't really listen to much of the newer artists besides him. Like, my son tries to get me into stuff and it's just really god awful.
A lot of the
my son just
like the mainstream stuff that you hear now is a lot of it just has sort of the same sound. There's no individuality to it, but there are some people that shine through, like Kendrick, J. Cole, Tyler the Creator, stuff like that. But for hip hop,
he's very, very talented.
Yeah, hip hop for me, like now, where a lot of the good stuff lies is sort of like the underbelly to that. Like, I don't want to call it underground because it's still pretty big, but there's like not like Eminem or Interscope Records big, you know? It's kind of
like, people are getting big. Independently getting like 50 million hits and like just craziness.
Like Griselda and Benny the Butcher and all those guys did it.
Are you guys familiar? So my 15-year-old son who loves hip hop, he's in love with these two hip hop artists. Maybe you guys heard of him. One is actually from our town. His name is BLP Kosher. He's a Jewish rapper.
Oh yeah, I have heard of that dude.
Not me.
I've never listened to him.
Have you heard of him?
But if you
look him up, he's really cool. He like raps about like Anne Frank and like beating, like killing Nazis and all these guys. Really cool. The guy is actually super cool. Like when I first saw him, I was like, oh, who is this poser, you know? And then I started like looking into it. I'm like, dude, this kid is kind of awesome. So he's pretty cool. And then my son had me take him to this concert where I'm curious if you guys ever heard of this guy. Cause like it blew my mind have you ever heard of this guy, Ken Carson?
Yeah, I know who he is. I'm not big on him. My kid showed me him too. I only heard one or two songs.
I guess the music is called Opium. It's called Opium music.
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard it and was like, I can't stand the overly auto-tuned voice. Like,
my kid introduced me to a rap song where it's like,
yes,
they whistle or whatever, and that's all they do.
I don't know
it.
If that's the song. Oh, my God, I only heard one or two songs.
No, this is like auto-tune like crazy. It's actually a brand of music I never even knew it existed. It's called Opium Hip Hop.
I didn't know that either until you just said
it's like it's like Playboi Carti, the rapper out of Atlanta, like this is like he created his own style of like dark gothic hip hop, which is called Opium Hip Hop. Where like I brought my son and his friends to this concert, and it's like these kids are dressed like they're going to Marilyn Manson concerts, but they're actually at a rap concert, and
like
they're very the music is very
like
auto tuned, similar, but the these kids that go to these concerts, like, dude, I wasn't prepared for it. Like, I'm a hardcore kid, and I brought my son and his five friends to this concert because guess what? Dad has a friend from the hardcore scene that's the merch guy on this guy's tour.
Yeah.
Figure. So I got my son and his friends, you know, free tickets.
Nice.
You know, it's just funny, 20, 30 years later in the music business, and like, we have friends everywhere. My friend happens to be this guy's merch manager. My friend is a hardcore guy, by the way, has nothing to do with like this guy's music, but
you gotta pay the bills, man.
Yeah, you gotta pay the bills.
Plus, like, that ain't a bad gig to have.
Dude, it was the most. Oh, he loves it. He loves it. He definitely does better than the hardcore tours on this one, I can tell you that. But financially.
Yeah.
But, right. My son and his friends, like, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, oh yeah, we're just going to like this regular hip hop concert, you know, it'd be fun, right? And like, dude, it was the wildest crowd I've ever seen. Miami, 2,500 kids sold out. They were like trampling these old people who were security because they didn't think the kids were going to get this rowdy. And like these kids, it was like every kid had the same broccoli haircut, like the big hair.
Yeah.
It was wild, dude. It was wild.
They're just fucking wilding out.
Dude, it was like, I never felt so removed from my body at a show. Like, what the fuck? Like, where am I? Who am I around? And it's just so funny because, like, this is what kids are into now. Like, this guy is, I urge you guys to go on YouTube and look up this guy is wildly famous, like wildly big right now. And he was selling merch. And this is what blew my mind. A t-shirt was $85.
Wow.
And a hooded sweatshirt was $150.
Damn.
The guy sold out of everything.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And it was there was 1,000 kids online to buy merch, and it was just the whole experience just blew my mind. And I, you know, like my son looked at me, and he's like, "Hey," he's like, "I'm not saying you're old," but he's like, "This is what the kids like nowadays." I go, "You know what? I have to open my mind up." I was a little bit hating on it, and I was like, "Fuck it." I was fucking flipping off stages at your age. Like, who the fuck am I to judge?
Right.
Love what you love, and don't give a hell what people care, what people think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I will say this on the merch side of things, like, holy shit, dude, $85 for a fucking t-shirt. Like, I will hardcore, you can still at least get a t-shirt for 15, dude. $20. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get it. That's crazy.
The guy sold over $100,000 in merchandise that night.
Yeah, and that's just one
$150.
Like, you gotta think of like the whole tour, that whole thing, what that accumulates. That's crazy.
Well, here's what I want to, and the thing is this, like the venue probably held, I don't know how big the venue is, Jackie Gleason Theater, Miami, it holds about 2,000 people, tops.
It's not,
so we're not, super not talking huge. About the guy didn't sell an arena out, you know?
Right.
But the fans are loyal and the fans, just like hardcore fans, you know?
Yeah.
That's still a big show.
It is. And it was a very, very different experience for me. Again, it was really funny because Dad's hardcore friend was the merch guy on this tour.
And then you end up being the like weird one there, like the outsider.
I hung out with my boy all night.
Yeah.
You know, like we hadn't seen each other. He's from New York. So I told the kids, just go do your thing and please don't get arrested. And I hung out at the merch table the whole night, just catching up with like one of my best friends from when we were young in the hardcore scene. Yeah.
But all right, man, we don't want to take up your whole entire Saturday.
I
here,
just got
to
pee as usual, incredibly, horribly.
We'll let you get going. We appreciate you taking the time to
40, the prostate.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You made it an hour 40 minutes, dude. You're doing good.
I know.
We'll wrap things up here for you. Mark, do you have anything you want to add
all
before
right,
we sign off here?
No, man, thank you for having me. I kind of felt like we were just on a three-way call, just chatting about fucking good times and hardcore, which is really like the best podcast to do. So thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
That's what we aim to do on every episode.
So. Yes, sir. I appreciate
it.
You,
it is what it is. You know, my wife's sitting here like...
She's like, can we sorry, wrap this up?
Well, no, you know, it's funny. They went up, the baby went up to take a nap. My daughter came home from softball and I said, uh-oh. And then they went up and they watched TV and then they went up to take a nap. So the headphones actually worked out good. But nice. No, I'm really excited to be able to, appreciative of you guys having me on, but also to be in a position to talk about the new music and new record. And just if anybody hasn't heard of us and I'm totally cool with that. And I'm actually hoping there's a lot of people that never heard of us to just check out By Your Side. It's like available on all platforms. And then, and probably by the time this comes out or maybe shortly after, like our new video is going to be out, Untouchable. And then January 17th, everywhere worldwide, our double EP / 12 inch is coming out. That's going to be on Equal Vision Records. So you can go on equalvision.shop and, you know, order that. Some really cool vinyl variants that they put out that are in limited edition. And then just follow us on Instagram, Shutdown NYHC. And then, you know, same on Facebook. And just anytime anybody needs anything, just hit us up. Like, hardcore should be very easy to communicate with people. Bands are not on different levels than people that listen to the music. So anybody that wants anything from us, just hit me up online. And Jeremy, just as you saw, like, we'll get right back to you. And like, I'm just appreciative to do this stuff. Thank you guys for doing the podcast and having an outlet to put out new bands and also talk about old bands like us too, you know? So thank you. And, you know, hope we get to meet up in Michigan in 2025. That's the goal.
Oh, it'll happen. Awesome. Dude. Like I said, I really appreciate it. And
yeah, thank you, man. We appreciate it. We'll have this on Monday, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Sometimes I do podcasts and it takes a few weeks to come out. So yeah, awesome. Even
depends
better.
On
so
what we by got the time this comes out and everything, but you ended up squeezing in at a good time. So, and I work perfect quickly with the editing. So
sweet, man. Well, I'll post it a lot across the message socials, as they say, and just anything you guys need from me, hit me up. And yeah, go enjoy your Saturdays. And thanks again for the time. And everybody, check out the new song and new video. I hope everybody likes it. And next one's coming out on the 13th.
All right.
Everything, but before we sign out, everything mentioned, Instagram, the record pre-order, all that stuff, it's in the episode description. So go in there, click the links, check it out. And awesome. Mark, thank you again, man, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Peace.
Later, man.